This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, which falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Massé with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Got a jam-packed show for you in this hour of Nissan Dodger Talk. Coming up in our next segment, you'll hear my conversation with Andre Ethier. He has been part of the Dodgers Love LA Community Caravan, and he was out at Baldwin Hills with the Special Olympic athletes. Had a chance to catch up with Ethier, who, by the way, is entering his 12th season with the Dodgers. And you may say, all right, yeah, that's a long time. That's a good time with the Dodgers. But consider this. Ethier is one of just 11 active players that will be entering his 12th season with the same team. You got guys like Dustin Pedroia, Yadier Molina, Justin Verlander, Joe Mauer, Ryan Zimmerman, King Felix, Matt Cain, Glenn Perkins. Those type of players are in the same company, or Andre's in the same company with them, entering at least their 12th season with the same team. It just doesn't happen, especially now in this day and age. And had a chance to catch up with him to not only talk about what he's doing with the Dodgers in the community and what he has done each of the last 11 years, but reflecting on his career with the Dodgers, because unfortunately, this may be Andre Ethier's last year in a Dodger uniform. His contract's up after this year. The only way another guaranteed part of his contract is in play for 2018 is if he makes 550 plate appearances, there's a kicker in his contract that would put him in a Dodger uniform for another year. I don't know if that's going to happen, especially with the crowded outfield and with the emergence of Andrew Tolles. Also, too, speaking of all that, you'll hear from Dodger manager Dave Roberts. I was in studio with LA Today with Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet, and they were cool enough to allow me to sit in at part of that interview with Dave Roberts, and you'll hear him address the outfield situation and what Ethier's role may be in 2017. Remember last year, Ethier was going to be the Dodgers' leadoff hitter against right-handed pitching. So if he would not have gotten hurt and he was swinging a hot bat in spring training, who knows what type of year he would have had. So the Dodgers obviously have decisions to be made in spring training. So you'll hear from Ethier at 7:15, and you'll hear from Dodger manager who was on LA Today with myself, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peet, and talking about all things Dodgers, including Yasiel Puig, Clayton Kershaw, the outfield situation. So you want to stick around for that. Also, too, the Dodgers have announced some of their non-roster invitees to big league camp in spring training. Remember, we're getting very close to when pitchers and catchers report. February 15th, the first full squad workout is on February 20th. It's a little bit earlier this year because of the World Baseball Classic, and some of the Dodgers' top prospects have been invited to big league camp. Josh Spores, who was one of the Dodgers' draft picks a couple of years ago, a right-handed pitcher from Vanderbilt. He had a good year at Rancho Cucamonga last year. He's ranked the 14th best prospect in the Dodger organization, according to MLB.com. Also, Cody Bellinger, Willie Calhoun, and Alex Verdugo are among the 21 players that will attend big league camp as non-roster invitees. So it should be interesting to see some of these young prospects and how well they do in big league camp. I can still remember Cody Bellinger impressing all of spring training last year. So it'll be nice to see Alex Verdugo in his first big league camp and what Willie Calhoun can do in his first big league camp. I'm really interested to see what Willie Calhoun can do with the glove. He's very good with the bat, but have gotten some less than stellar reports about his defense. So I want to see it from my own eyes how good Willie Calhoun is or isn't at second base. Also, too, want to remind you that the Dodgers Fan Fest is coming up on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We will be broadcasting live right here on AM 570 LA Sports from 11 to 3 p.m. Myself and Tony Gwynn Jr. and Logan Forsythe is supposed to be at FanFest. In fact, he will be there. It's not supposed to. He will have his new butt at Dodger FanFest, and he'll be on the stage with Tony and I at 1:15, and you can hear that on AM 570 LA Sports. Phone lines are open at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And we focused the majority of the offseason, and rightfully so, on the Dodgers re-signing Rich Hill, Kenley Jansen, and Justin Turner. But one thing we really haven't talked about is their starting rotation. And the way I have it mapped out, it's 10 deep. And one of the 10, part of that, is Hyunjin Ryu. Yeah. Remember his name, Hyunjin Ryu? He was one of the best starters in the National League his first 2 years with the Dodgers in 2013 and 2014. His first 2 years, he was a combined 28-15 with an ERA of 3.17 and making virtually every start, 56 starts in his first 2 seasons with the Dodgers before having that shoulder surgery that has kept him out the last 2 seasons, ironically. And keep in mind, too, how good Ryu was. He only allowed 23 home runs in his first 2 years in the big league. Some guys give up 23 home runs in their first 3 months in the big leagues, or first 4 or 5 months in the big league. So he was obviously overshadowed by Kershaw and Greinke in 13 and 14. But without him, their rotation was not as formidable as it was with him in it. And he could have been probably a lot of teams' number two, and some of the bad teams probably their number one starter. And the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because he told a Korean news agency that he has made 4 bullpen sessions off the mound. And I know everybody says, oh, yeah, we heard this last year, but he seems to be healthier now than he was at any point last year. So if he can get back to form where he was in 13 and 14, the Dodgers starting rotation is looking a lot better than it was without him in it the last year and a half. And if he is able to come to spring training and be anywhere close to who he was those first 2 years doing what I told you he did, and this is his direct quote to Ji Ho Yu of the Yonhap News Agency. Quote, right now, I'd say I'm in better shape than I normally would be at the start of spring training. I threw 4 bullpen sessions while training in Japan, and I have no pain at the moment, which is a good sign because last year he was in pain. Don't know the degree of pain, but he was feeling pain and kind of shut it down at very different stages throughout the year. Every time the Dodgers thought he was getting close to coming back to the rotation, he would have a major setback. And here is more Ryu to that Korean news agency. Quote, I think I have to start throwing on the mound from the very beginning of the camp, and I think I'm physically ready to do that. That's huge from him because any little thing he felt last year, he stopped throwing. And if the Dodgers can get him back, their rotation would look really good. You would have Kershaw, Rich Hill, Julio Urias, and I know what Dave Roberts said, and you'll hear from him at the bottom of the hour regarding what he said or didn't say or how he said it about Urias maybe staying in extended spring training. Also, you have another year of Kenta Maeda and Scott Kazmir. Don't forget about him. He's still under contract, and I would imagine would be part of the 5-man rotation coming out of spring training. The other 5 you got that are in the mix for competing for a spot in the rotation are Alex Wood, Brock Stewart, Ross Stripling, and oh yeah, Brandon McCarthy. He's still around and still has a contract, so I'm sure the Dodgers are going to try to do something with him if he has his mental issues behind him. He was throwing, remember when his last 2 or 3 starts, he kind of had the yips. He was had a mental block where he was throwing the ball just a bit outside. And so hopefully Brandon McCarthy has put those things behind him. So you're looking at a rotation that's 10 deep. So when they talk about Dodger starting rotation depth, they're not exaggerating. That's part of the reason why the Dodgers felt comfortable enough to upgrade at second base by trading Jose De Leon for Logan Forsythe. And I got to tell you this. I mentioned this with Petros and Money and LA Today the last couple of days and after the trade was made. I talked to a few American League managers out there at the winter meetings in December when all this Brian Dozier and Logan Forsythe stuff started to become public, that the Dodgers were talking to the Rays and Twins about these two second basemen. And they were telling me they felt like Dozier was a bit overrated and that Forsythe was a better all-around player. So that's part of the reason why I'm very comfortable with the Dodgers' decision to go this route and say, you know what, Twins, you're asking a little bit too much. We're going to do a one-for-one swap and get a very good second baseman that Dave Roberts is very familiar with from the San Diego Padres, and Josh Burns, who is one of Andrew Friedman's advisors and VP of baseball ops. So he's a guy that not only the analytic front office believes in, but Dave Roberts believes in, and also guys that have no hair in the game. They don't care. They got no skin in the game. They were telling me that Forsythe was a better all-around player than Brian Dozier, who hit 42 home runs but could be very streaky. And this is something to keep in mind as the season goes along. As of now, the last 3 years against left-handed pitching, Forsythe has the most home runs per at-bat against lefties than any other Dodger in their everyday lineup. Forsythe, the last 3 years, hit a home run every 22 at-bats against lefties. That's better than Yasiel Puig. That's better than Justin Turner. And it's certainly better than Yasmani Grandal, who only hit one home run every 40 at-bats. And we all know Grandal's power comes from the left side, not the right side. Keep in mind, too, Forsythe, the last three seasons, has a higher OPS against lefties than Puig, Turner, or Grandal. His OPS against lefties, which, if you don't know, is combining a player's on-base percentage and their slugging percentage. That's how you come up with their OPS. He had an 818 OPS the last 3 years against lefties. So the Dodgers are in very good hands, and we'll hear for the first time from Logan Forsythe at FanFest. He'll be out there on the main stage with myself and Tony Gwynn Jr. and also signing autographs at the FanFest from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You could get all the information on this Saturday's Dodger FanFest at Dodgers.com/FanFest. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with Dodger outfielder Andre Ethier. Dodger Talk, David Vasse until 8 o'clock right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
One, two, three, four. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight on AM 570 LA Sports. Taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. You'll hear from Andre Ethier in just a moment and Dodger manager Dave Roberts coming up at the bottom of the hour. Want to remind you that the Dodgers We Love LA community caravan is going on tomorrow, too, and where you can actually see the Dodgers, cheer for the Dodgers, maybe even touch the Dodgers, will be in my neck of the woods starting at 3 o'clock, a rally at the Topanga Plaza Mall. That's the old name. Right now they call it the Westfield Topanga Plaza Mall. So you can see and be part of a Dodger rally tomorrow in Woodland Hills at the Westfield Topanga Plaza Mall from 3 to 4 o'clock. It will be taking place on level 1 of the mall in the Canyon area. So it'll be a fun day out there culminating in that Dodger rally. And they'll have some A-listers out there. Alex Wood, Corey Seager, the National League Rookie of the Year and runner-up in the National League MVP voting. Also, too, Yasmani Grandal, Josh Raven, a Chatsworth guy. So there'll be a lot of guys out there at the Westfield Topanga Mall Dodger Rally. You want to be there 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, level 1 at the Canyon. Want to say thanks, too, to Justin Turner for coming in studio inside the locker room with Petros and Money. He did a great job. And one of the fans that were out there and got a pair of passes to get in there and I think played some hooky from work is Manuel from Gardena. What's up, Manuel?
Hey, you know I had to DV. First off, I wanted to thank you and all of AM 570 for another just like chance of a lifetime meeting Red Turn 2 today, the Red Samurai. Last year it was Doc Roberts that we got to meet. I took my daughter today. My son went last year. So, hey, props to AM 570. And then.
Hey, like, Manuel, I got to hold up 1 second. You heard me crash that party, right? Didn't you think Red Turn 2?
Yeah,
didn't you think Red Turn 2 looked like Teen Wolf going to the prom? Michael J. Fox going to the prom and Teen Wolf?
That's all I could think of after you threw that down, dude. Hey, Red Turn 2 is the best. But yeah, I was expecting him to go like trampoline dunk or something right there.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Awesome. Like when the
Big Bad Wolf
boys had gotten like the seltzer bottle and you just took it out of their hands and turned it right back on them. I loved it, man.
Damn right,
good
man.
Good old AM 570 stuff, man.
All right,
love
Manuel.
You guys. Go Dodgers.
Thank you, Manuel. Appreciate it. And thanks to Manuel, who was so awesome and such a loyal listener that brought us in Giuliano's sandwiches, which is out there in Gardena. So we appreciate it. He is definitely a loyal listener. So I ate half of mine, Manuel, and I'll bring the rest home to my beautiful bride. Let's go out to Glendale. Bruce, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Bruce?
Well, Dave, I spoke to you a couple weeks ago, and I told you that I was a big Logan Forsythe fan, and I think Dodger fans are going to be real happy with him. He's really interesting from the sense that he's got a real short, nice, compact swing, but he goes the other way. He can hit for power. He batted first and fourth for them. And I don't think the trading is over with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Oh, yeah? Who do you think the Dodgers are going to try to get?
Okay, so if Tampa Bay falls out of contention, which is likely, I mean, right now they have Jose De Leon, they've got Chris Archer, Blake Snell is a young pitcher, Matt Andreese, Alex Cobb. I could see the Dodgers, you know, after, you know, the second half, maybe making a trade for Jake or Dreese and possibly Orsamo Ramirez.
Well, didn't you hear what I just said? They have 10 starting pitchers. I'm not sure that's where they want to use their trade chips, Bruce. I think my prediction is by the trade deadline, the Dodgers will be knocking on the Pittsburgh Pirates door for Andrew McCutchen and Tony Watson.
Wow, that would be amazing. That would absolutely be amazing.
Watson's a free agent. Watson's a free agent at the end of the year, so you know the Pirates want to get something for him at the deadline, and McCutchen obviously has already been shot by the Pirates.
One last thing. You were talking about Giuliano's. I remember seeing Big Joe McDonald at Phil Traney's restaurant in Long Beach. So
that's my guy.
Yep, I know. So thank you so much for your time, and go Dodgers.
All right, Bruce. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, Phil Traney, my guy, too. Big Joe, miss him every day. And Phil Traney, that's where he used to hang out, him and Doug Krikorian. That was their spot. So hopefully Phil's listening. He usually has that black beat-up radio in the kitchen. So hopefully you're listening, Phil. We love you. I know he was upset about that UCLA loss yesterday like the rest of us were that were fans of the Bruins. Man, I feel like Steve Lavin's coaching the Bruins these days. Anyway, the Bruins did beat Arizona State, and yes, I did rub it in Andre Ethier's face when I saw him out there in Baldwin Hills working with the Special Olympic athletes, and Ethier is somebody that I think all Dodger fans obviously love. He gets some of the loudest ovations at Dodger Stadium, so I'm not going to go as far to say that Dodger fans take him for granted, but I think everybody does love the shiny new toy and sometimes forgets about the steady influences of guys like Ethier, who has staying power, and guys like Adrian Gonzalez, who just do their work and drive in runs and are guys that help you win ball games and help you win four straight division titles. Justin Turner is one of those type of guys as well, and it's great that he'll be here for four more years. But I had a chance to catch up with Ethier, not only asking him about the work he's doing in the community, but also some of the things that he can reflect upon in his first 11 years with the Dodgers heading into his 12th season.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, these caravan tours are something that you don't really think you look forward to, but you do when it comes time for it. You know, as soon as that season's done, you try to put everything, you know, baseball-wise, everything behind you, and kind of, you know, focus, you know, some free time and you know, especially mental free time away from the game. And then as soon as this date starts creeping up, you start realizing it's time to really get back at it and get going. And then as much as you kind of weigh of not doing this or coming to being part of it, you see today how, you know, why and how it makes it so worth it coming out here. You know, this Special Olympics, you know, event they set up here in Baldwin Hills at this field was, you know, unbelievable. You know, these athletes they have here, you know, were, you know, up to the task of, you know, not only, you know, swinging the bat, but running the bases, throwing. And I probably keep repeating myself every time I say this, but just it's amazing how quick they were to compliment each other and give, you know, credit for how well one of their fellow athletes was doing something. And, you know, it's just the selflessness that you can learn from being around these guys that, you know, really, really taught me a lot today being out here.
I was watching you. You weren't just going through the motions. You really were into this event, and the reaction you got from the kids really meant something to you as well.
Well, I mean, you just see it's infectious. You know, you see how enthusiastic they are. Just to take those swings off the tee, that, you know, the hitting station I was doing, and you know, how can I sit there and go through the, you know, go through the motions, go through the actions when they're so enthusiastic themselves. So you know, I'm just trying to match their enthusiasm with the way they were, and you could see how much more they got into it and lit up when you were, you know, cheering them on, when you're giving them hard time for a swing or something like that, and they'd give it right back to you, and, you know, they're just having fun, enjoying the game, and, you know, it was really fun to be a part of.
You like to do a lot of things in the community. Obviously, the Dodgers, We Love L.A. Community Caravan Tour always seems to get attention, but you give a lot of your time without the cameras being around. Why do you feel that responsibility during your time in Los Angeles to really help the needy?
I mean, because it really sounds bad, but you really do. When you're here as long as I have been and been a part of this community, been a part of this city, L.A. is a real big part of your life and a real big part of your heart, and you know, what it means to be a Dodger is not just the way you are on the field, but it's what you you know, act, the way you hold yourself, the way you present yourself to the community, the way you're accessible. And you know, from, you know, the countless opportunities I've been a part of, I've been lucky to be able to be included in a lot of them and find my way to, you know, help some great organizations. And, you know, this is another one where, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be introduced to the Special Olympics and see how rewarding it is. And, you know, you get so much from being a player in the city and so many things. But you also get so much by giving back, and that's something I've learned here in LA, is when you give back, you get so much more. And, you know, this is definitely the case today. You got so much more in return from just giving back for this hour and a half we're out here.
When you hear your name attached to the Dodgers now, it's synonymous, because you're the longest active tenured Dodger. You're one of only a handful of major league players that will be playing with the same team for 12 seasons.
Yeah.
When you reflect back on your career, did you ever think you would still be standing here with the same team?
No, not at all. I hoped and dreamt it. But even to look 12 years down the road, not one person in L.A. would have thought that, including me. But, you know, things work out and end up, and the path winds a certain way. And, you know, standing here today, you know, loving every up and down, every bump that was along that road to get me here. And you start to realize, you know, things have a reason. And then, you know, even when they don't seem like it, they do. And, you know, it's been a great part. And I'm, you know, more than, you know, honored and, you know, I guess humbled at the same time to be a part of an organization like the Dodgers for this many years. And I guess now, after all these years, I call myself, a real true Dodger and, you know, a true, you know, a guy who's been with, you know, one team that long.
How is this version of Andre Ethier, the baseball player, different than, let's say, the one 5 or 6 years ago?
That's a good question. I guess the edges get softer.
You deal with me a little bit better, so you know you're softer.
But you just realize, you know, not to take things so seriously all the time, including yourself. you know, there's a lot of things that aren't going to go your way, and you can kick and scream and get mad, but sometimes it doesn't help. And, you know, just taking the good out of, you know, try to take the good out of everything is the most important thing. And I think it kind of relates to what you see today, you know, take the good out of everything and, you know, have fun with it. And then just be appreciative in, you know, the situation you're in and where you're at and realize how great it is. And, you know, that's something I've come to realize. And I, like I said, I can't complain. I can't, you know, look back after years. I probably complained and kicked and screamed over the years, but now after it, it was probably for nothing. But, yeah, you just thought, I'd say, you know, that guy from 5 years ago or 6 years ago to now is just, you know, a lot more, I guess, you know, humbled and realizing, you know, really what, you know, the game has meant to, you know, me and what it has done. And then, you know, the ways I can give back and the way I have given back.
So how's the leg? It looked like you could move around the Special Olympics dream field here pretty well.
Yeah, no, it feels great. Been, I think, 4 weeks now into full, you know, off-season training and, you know, my regular training that I do with, you know, the group I work with in Phoenix, and haven't had to have any holdbacks or sit outs for any of the drills we do. So I'm fully running, jumping, cutting, back in cleats already, doing some running stuff and running bases, and then of course doing my full lifting and then hitting and baseball drills that I would normally do this time of year. So there's no you know, wait and sees and see, you know, how we, you know, get to the next week. It's just a full blow, not thinking about it, not considering, you know, any bit of limitations from, you know, the injury. But I think it's one of those things where, you know, injuries are injuries, but, you know, it's one really where it's just one of those fluke accidents that came out of nowhere, and it wasn't like, you know, something gave out or something broke out. It was, you know, a pitch I fouled off that hit me in the perfect spot and happened to, you know, fracture my leg. And, you know, once it's healed, and, you know, the doctors were right. You know, once it scars back up and it's good, you won't have any residual, and it's held true from there.
I don't think people realize it still was technically broken when you came back and played last year. Would it be technically not broken at this point in time?
I have no idea. The last time we saw any film or x-rays or anything like that was, I think, at the middle of September. And, you know, I think once the off-season ended, the team kind of just gave me a go-by feel, you know, type thing. And, you know, first couple weeks leading after the season, I didn't need much rest because I didn't play much last year. But, you know, I kind of just went right back into my usual off-training, off-season training, and jumped right back into it. And they would check up on me every, you know, week or so to see how I was doing. And, you know, nothing new to report, and told them I was playing soccer with my kids and, you know, doing all that stuff and being able to do that without any pain. And like I said, once the first of the year hits and it's time to really go back to that, you know, into that training, I jumped back into my regular group I'm usually with, and, you know, haven't had any setbacks or anything like that. So, you know, that's probably the most exciting and I guess fulfilling part this offseason so far is that, you know, just being able to have that same feeling you have every year coming into spring where you're healthy, feeling good, and you're not trying to, you know, patch things or compensate for, you know, for certain ways you feel or injuries you might be having leading in. So, you know, last year was frustrating, you know, for me personally, for the team, the way everything ended up. You know, but I guess spring, you know, brings new things and exciting new things. And I think, you know, we're 4 weeks away from having an exciting opening to camp. And, you know, I'm excited to be, you know, part of a team again and part of Dodgers and looking forward to it.
It'll be his 12th season in a Dodger uniform this year. We can't wait to see you out there in spring training. And I like what you brought to the table out here today, big guy.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate it. And, you know, I look forward to seeing all you Dodger fans in 4 weeks out there in Arizona. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're, you know, we're excited. We have a good team going. And, you know, I can't wait to put that uniform on my head again, you know, over this, you know, this 12th year again.
Great job by Andre Ethier out there at the Baldwin Hills Center out there at one of the Dodger Dream Fields, working with the Special Olympic athletes. Had a chance to catch up with him, and he was really open to reflecting on his 11 seasons with the Dodgers going into his 12th and what may very well be his final season with the Dodgers. And he's been not only one of the more popular Dodgers, but obviously one of the more productive Dodgers over the course of the last 11 years. And he'll be there with the rest of the full squad on February 20th. That's when they report on in Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. The pitchers and catchers report on February 15th, and I'll be out there for the full squad. I've already mentioned how I feel about things. I don't go out there to watch pitchers and catchers play catch. I go out there for the first full squad workouts, February 20th. And yeah, that one's for all the pitchers out there. You know, I like you, and obviously you're valuable, but it's really just starting. You're still on the training wheels in spring training the first couple of days. All right, Ronnie, that's enough with the seltzer. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Who are your Dodgers starting five? Plus, we'll hear from Dodger manager Dave Roberts next on AM570 LA Sports.
This is the home of the Dodgers.
Call us, tweet us, tag us. It's 866-987-2570 or hashtag Dodger Talk.
Thanks to Andre Ethier for taking time out for me in between working with the Special Olympic athletes out in Baldwin Hills, part of the Dodgers' week-long We Love L.A. caravan. And it will culminate tomorrow with a rally at the Westfield Topanga Plaza Mall between 3 and 4 o'clock in Woodland Hills on Level 1 in the Canyon area. Corey Seager will be out there. He has Monty Grandal, among with a lot of other Dodgers participating in the We Love L.A. Caravan Tour. And coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from Dave Roberts. And one of the subjects I ask him about is how much of an opportunity are you going to give Andre Ethier to get that starting job in left field against righties, considering he was going to be your guy leading off against those right-handed pitchers a year ago. But with the emergence of Andrew Tolles, who, by the way, perception versus reality. It was great to see Tolles, and the story was great coming out of nowhere after being out of baseball for a year. But it seemed like the league started to catch up to Andrew Tolles the last month of the season. His splits were not very good. He hit .213 with an on-base of .229 and a slugging percentage of .277, struck out 13 times and only walked once. Now, he did have a strong NLCS, even though he did make a bad throw that did allow big runs to score in one of those games. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Dodgers allow this to play out, considering that if Ethier does get 550 plate appearances, his contract kicks in for another big number. I don't foresee that happening, but I still believe a veteran presence in that outfield, which outside of Jock Peterson was not very productive last year, I think it's pretty important for the Dodgers. And also, too, I could see Dave Roberts' point of view with Ethier being a valuable pinch hitter because, let's face it, there's nobody else on that bench that gives you quality at-bats like Ethier would. So I could see both sides of the coin, and I think Dave Roberts is going to do that balancing act for at least the first half of the season. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Thanks to Dodger PR assistant whiz John Chaffer for chiming in on the text and saying how great Ethier was and how bad I was, which usually is the case. I'm usually not that good. Let's go out to Riverside. And, Steve, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Steve?
Hey, DV. Hey, we were at the inside the locker room. Me and my boy were trying to fight this traffic back to the IE right now.
Hey, man, that was a great time. Turner is a great dude.
Yeah, my son actually asked Turner the question about who he looked up to when he was a kid. And, you know, he gave that Kotze answer again.
Yeah, I know. So, how many times is he going to go to the well with the Kotze answer?
Anyways, you know, that team will call me. Hey, you know what? That was a good, you know, you had to come up after they were putting some stuff on you. So,
hey, that's what I saw when I saw him in that suit with that beard and that long hair, man. I thought about the Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah, and, you know, only people our age can know who Team Wolf was. I don't think my son got that. But anyways, I just wanted to weigh in on my starting five. Obviously, you know, my number one would be Kirsch, Hill, Urias, Ryu, and Kazmir. That's who I'm looking at my starting five. And that's all I got, man. Thanks, DB, for taking my call.
No problem, Steve. Thanks for coming by Inside the Locker Room with Justin Turner and Petros and Money. I don't think it could be stated enough how the complexion of the Dodger rotation would change if Hyunjin Ryu is healthy and if his velocity is anywhere close to 91, 92-ish. He could very well become that guy again that stabilizes the second half of that Dodger rotation, and hopefully we'll see it in spring training. You know, I won't believe it until I see it with some of these guys, and Hyunjin Ryu falls in that category because we've been tricked so many times into believing that he was on the verge of being activated and rejoining the rotation, only to have a setback. So we'll see in spring training. But if what he's telling Korean news agencies about him throwing four bullpen sessions in Japan and not having any pain and wanting to be part of normal pitching workouts the first day of spring training, that's a huge step. Let's go out to Pasadena. Jeremy, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, Dave. Great show as always.
Thank you. I'm trying to live up to the Dodger PR standards. You know, nothing's ever good enough for those guys. Hello, Jeremy? Jeremy! All right. Anyway, Jeremy will call back, but right now we'll let you hear from Dodger manager Dave Roberts. He joined L.A. today, and I was lucky to be in studio with the great Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. They allowed me to join into their interview with the Dodger manager, who was being honored out there at City Hall yesterday, and then did a meet and greet at an LAPD station, which I was not allowed to be at. You know, I try to stay away from the cops. Anyway, here is part of our conversation with Dodger manager Dave Roberts.
People can't say enough good things about you, Dave.
No, you know what? To to go through this L.A. Loves, the Dodgers Love L.A. tour throughout this week, and for the city of Los Angeles to honor me was something pretty special.
Hey, Dave, it's Dave S.A.
Hey! Hey, how's it going, my friend? I didn't expect your... talk to you as well. I don't know if I would have done the interview.
I know. I was trying to be Dave Roberts before you called in. I was with Ethier out there in Baldwin Hills, but I was trying to explain Logan Forsythe and who he is and what I've heard you say about him. Congratulations, yeah. Number one, on getting a second baseman. You finally have one. But what can you tell the fans of Los Angeles what to expect from him? Because he really doesn't have the flashy numbers, but he has a lot more of the things that you want in one of the players playing for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the number one, Logan, is a winning player. And, you know, I had him in San Diego when he was breaking into the big leagues. In the last few years, he's played well in Tampa. So, the fans of the Dodgers, they're going to see a player that shows up every day and is blue-collar. And I think, you know, Logan's one of those guys that the more you see him, the more you appreciate. So, yeah, they aren't the gaudy numbers right now. He did hit 20 homers last year, but I think a lot of people really related to Chase Utley quickly, and Logan is cutting that same cloth.
Dodger manager Dave Roberts with us, AM 570 LA Sports, Dodgers Radio. Julio Urias, now are you going to keep him in extended spring training?
No, I don't know. I think that we're talking about different scenarios, so there's nothing that's said. But I think ultimately, and, you know, we're going to have conversation with Julio as well and what's best for him, what's best for the team. Because, you know, ultimately the main thing is that we got to have him being ready to pitch in meaningful games in September and also through October. So, again, we're going to have those conversations as the spring develops.
Dave, what I loved, and it was, you were quoted recently as when you're talking about Yasiel Puig and him having to perform. And as a former player, that's all you want. You want to make sure that if you perform on the field, then you will get playing time. And for you to come out and say that about him, and obviously he's a tremendous talent, but where is his head is, I think, is the biggest concern and psyche right now in terms of going into spring training.
Yeah, no, you know what, Roddy, I think the thing is that that's the way that, you know, Yasiel wants to start and voice that, and I think that that's what you want from all your players. But I think the number one thing is, you know, regardless of service time and your salary, it's about performance. And if it's about the Dodgers winning baseball games and what gives us the best chance to win, I think that was that's the way I feel. That's the way your organization feels. So again, if Yasiel is out there playing and getting 600 at bats, then with his skill set, I know that the Dodgers are better for it. But again, we have a lot of guys out there in the outfield that our major league, our productive major league players. So I think that this is a good situation for all of us.
Dave, I know you're out there at the LAPD offices with Andre Ethier. I saw him earlier today. He says he's ready to go for day one of spring training. What do you think is his best value to help you guys win? Is it being that guy coming off the bench like he was at the end of last year, or does he have an opportunity to compete against right-handed pitching on an everyday basis?
Yeah, you know what, I think that, you know, Dave, as we get, you know, starting for spring training, I think to your question, I think that, you know, everything's on the table. You know, Dre, with what he's done in his career, being a productive player on the defensive side, offensive side, now he's fully recovered from the injury from last year. You know, I expect him to contribute, and to what extent, I think that that remains to be seen. But, you know, Dre's leadership in the clubhouse on the field and the production at the plate, you can't argue. So if he's right healthy, it's going to be fun to see him and Tolles, you know, go out and see who warrants getting those at-bats.
Dave, as we get ready for pitchers and catchers, I know we don't like to talk about this, but with Kershaw's back last year, will there be any different routine for him? Will you hold him back a little bit more in spring training, or will it just be normal as usual?
I think it'll be normal with respect to the WBC. I think that Clayton has adjusted his, you know, his workload, or, you know, his preparation with the weight and his training a little bit, you know, with because of the back. But I think more so that the adjustment will be because it's a little bit longer spring because of the WBC. So I think that's the only adjustment, you know, and Clayton and Brandon McDaniel, our strength and conditioning coordinator, they work closely. And so I talked to Clayton actually this morning, and he says he feels good. So he's excited to, you know, get out to spring training and be ready to go.
And that was Dodger manager Dave Roberts with LA Today, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Pete, and myself. So thanks to Fred and Rodney for allowing me to sit in on that interview. And I thought Dave said a couple of interesting things, how you're going to have a young player like Andrew Tolles compete against a 12-year veteran that's accomplished a lot, and Andre Ethier to get the lion's share of at-bats against right-handed pitching. Also, too, I know nobody really brings it up during the offseason, but you know, all these moves the Dodgers have made, bringing back Turner, bringing back Rich Hill, bringing back Kenley Jansen, trading for Logan Forsythe. If Clayton Kershaw's back gives out on him at any point in the season, that's going to keep him out for an extended period of time, maybe longer than last year. I'm not sure if the Dodgers can handle that. And I think that's something that I know Dave Roberts has in the back of his mind, or maybe even in the forefront of his mind, but that's kind of the elephant in the room, that you're kind of holding your breath that Kershaw's back holds up for 30 starts. And maybe the Dodgers, against Kershaw's will, find a way to maybe skip him a start or two. Maybe give him an extra day, because if you've ever had a back problem, a herniated disc doesn't go away. It just doesn't. And we're hopeful that Kershaw is on a different level of an athlete, but even Superman has its kryptonite, and hopefully this herniated disc is not Kershaw's this year. Let's go out to Pasadena. Jeremy, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, sorry for leaving you hanging last time. It wasn't me. It was my phone, I promise.
I got you. What's up?
I was curious about Shane Sutley. I don't know if you know anything about if the Dodgers are going to sign him or not. I thought he was like a great clubhouse presence, and, you know, brought a real, like, hustle and grit to the team, and he'd be great coming off the bench or playing second base against a righty. Just curious about that, so let me know. Thanks, Dave.
All right, Jeremy, thanks for the phone call. One thing I could tell you is Chase does want to come back to the Dodgers. There's no doubt about that. I think the Dodgers obviously have been very public and have the way they feel about Chase Utley and the impact he's had on the Dodgers the last year and a few months that he's been on the team. And I would love to see Chase Utley back. I just don't know if it's going to happen. We're, what, a month away, less than a month away from the full squad reporting. He's still a free agent, and hopefully the Dodgers find room for him, because right now it seems to be a very crowded 40-man roster, so I'm not sure. And especially now with them trading for a guy like Logan Forsythe, who could basically play every day. You don't have to platoon him. He's just really good against lefties. And if you did bring back Utley, as a bench player. Can he assimilate to that role? It takes a lot for him to get ready for every game. And if he's sitting on the bench, those knees that have been bugging him, how stiff and cold are they coming off the bench? You just don't know how he would react to that type of role. I think depending on how limited he is, the Dodgers obviously know more the specifics about what he can and can't do and where he would be more productive. So I think everybody in an ideal world would love to have Chase Utley back. But if you look at his production after the first 2 months of the season, it wasn't very good. But he would, if he only got one hit in a game, it felt like it was the biggest hit of the game. If he was 1-for-4 or 1-for-5, that one seemed to be the one that helped the Dodgers win that game. And not to mention, like we've talked about, and I think it's being exhausted a lot now, but bears repeating how important he was to keep everybody in check when it needed to be kept in check in that clubhouse. And we'll see if Logan Forsythe, who's under control for the next couple of years, grows into that. But you do have guys like Kershaw, Justin Turner, who are those guys as well, Adrian Gonzalez. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing. If Chase Utley said something to you, you listened. He didn't speak a lot, but when he did, it was pretty important and kind of woke guys up. So we'll see how it plays out. Everybody would love to have Chase Utley back. But the good news is Justin Turner's back. The Big Bad Wolf is back. And he was in studio with Petros and Money inside the locker room today. And I couldn't believe it. When I walked in, he was in this suit. And he had that beard, that red beard going down, and was up to his neck. I felt like I was watching Michael J. Fox in Teen Wolf at the prom. So this, our out song, is dedicated to my guy, Justin Turner, who, by the way, is having his second annual golf tournament on Monday at Sherwood Country Club. So if you want information on that, you could go to his Twitter site, at RedTurn2. He has the link to his golf tournament. There's still spots available. Shotgun start at 11 a.m. in Westlake Village at Sherwood Country Club. Adrian Gonzalez, Scott Kazmir are going to be out there. So if you want to golf with a Big Bad Wolf, Justin Turner, go check it out at Red Turn 2. Dedicated to you, man. Have a great night, everybody. We'll be back with you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Corey Seager will join us, and don't forget about the big Dodger rally at the Topanga Plaza Mall in Woodland Hills at 3 o'clock. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio, Andre Ethier, and Dave Roberts. Have a great night. See ya!